Praise the Lord. I love that song. Pray that we want to be a blessing to people. Amen. In the second and third verse, to our mission be true. And that's exactly what the message is about tonight. If you take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 tonight. And we'll be finishing up our little series we've been going through, What is the Christian Life? And we looked at part number 3 this morning. We've been looking at it Sunday morning, Sunday night over the last 2 weeks. And tonight we will be concluding that and maybe come back to some other thoughts in the future. But tonight, what is the Christian life? We have seen the old man on last Sunday morning. We have seen what the old man is, what condition we were before that we were saved, how in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Then last Sunday night, we looked at the new man that's created in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness. In that, this is the new man that Christ has made us, new man or new woman, if you will. And that this is what we're to walk in, this walking in the Spirit, walking in the new man. And this morning, we have seen the need to die to self. We have a tendency to live life the way we always knew how, the natural way, instead of the supernatural way, the way God intended us to live. And this evening, we're going to be looking at how all of this ties together. What ties all of this together tonight is that of faithfulness. How does one go from being saved and making that decision to die to self day by day by day? How do they get down the road? And how do they take the proper steps day by day, moment by moment? How do they do that? One word, faithfulness. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. That's what is the Christian life, part number 4. And we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll look at the first 5 verses of the chapter. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 1 down through verse number 5. God's Word says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight before we continue. We need Him tonight. We need Him to speak to us in this area of faithfulness. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You humbly tonight. Lord, we need to be faithful. We want to be. We want to be faithful stewards of what You have given us. We want to be faithful stewards of what You have entrusted to us. And Lord, I pray tonight that perhaps there are some areas of our life that we have not been faithful. We have made some missteps. We have sinned. And we have not stayed true to the faith in areas that we need to. I pray that tonight we would restore that and be faithful from here on. For Lord, we must die to self and die to the old things and walk in the new. And I pray that some here tonight, maybe they have never walked in the new way. Perhaps the old life has been reformed and it looks good, as we looked at this morning. But perhaps many here tonight, or some that they say, "Well, I'm living in the new life, but I have not been faithful in every area." Whatever area we lack, Lord, I pray that You'd meet the need. And that, dear Lord, we would respond with hearts that are tender, hearts that are open, that wish to receive Your word. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd give me the right words to say tonight, that You'd help me to say all that I need to, and not to say anything I ought not. Hide me behind the cross, dear Lord. I can do none of this without You. I cannot convict. I cannot bring to light the things that need to be brought to light without Thy power, without Thy Spirit. I pray that You'd work among us tonight. We ask Thee humbly, and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. In the first 5 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see Paul is giving a description, a viewpoint into his thoughts, and to how he viewed his ministry and how he viewed his Christian life. In the first five verses, we see some important truths, but verse number two, we know very well, moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. In verse number one, we see that what a steward of what he was a steward of, and that he was given the mysteries of God, he was given the gospel, and that he didn't matter to him what man thought. He wasn't going to be judged of man. He didn't care what men judged him, because there's always going to be someone that thinks we're doing a good job and we're not, or thinks that we're doing a bad job and we're doing good. We always have that because man can't see everything, and even he didn't want to judge himself. That's another pitfall we fall into. Well, I'm doing pretty good. But instead, he said, I wanted to be judged of God. Oh, I need to turn my microphone on. I know I forgot something. Thank you, Brother Cole. All right, microphone's up. But tonight, we're going to be looking at faithfulness. How do we be like Paul and be like the saints of old? We can see something in those that had spiritual success and God used. They were consistent in the things that they did. They were consistent in their steps. They were consistent in their message. They were consistent in being a faithful steward. And if we're to be the right kind of Christian, by the way, every Christian here tonight, you are a steward that God has given something to. We're going to look at some of those things in just a moment. And it is required. It's not an optional thing. It is required that you be faithful. So tonight, we're going to look at first tonight, consistent steps. The Christian life is a series of steps. We talked about this morning, and we talked about a step that each one, every person needs to take every single day, that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 31, that he said, I die daily. I die what? To self. We looked at Romans chapter 6 and that we are dead to sin. The old man is dead and we need to let God do it. We said of us doing it ourselves and working ourselves and working and conjuring up results, we need to leave the results up to God. All that we're required to do is be faithful. Be faithful to do the will of God. Be faithful to do what God commands us in His Word. And God brings the results. Amen. He is faithful in that. He is faithful to bring the results. And the key to success is to keep making these steps day by day. And that we always look far ahead in the future, don't we? We always look years or months or weeks and even days ahead. And so, well, what is in store for the future? What is going to happen in the future? And what is God going to use me to do in the future? And sometimes young people can be like this. I remember when I was like this, I would always look forward what great and glorious thing that God was going to have me do in the future, but I wasn't very concerned about what was going on today. Well, in order to get to the future, you're not going to skip to the future, are you? You're going to get there day by day by day. And so if you want to get to the place of being used of God in the future, you need to be faithful in your steps now. Faithful day by day by day. To be just as faithful at step number one. Step number one being that we die to self. To be faithful in step number one as we are at step 10,000 or a million. To be that faithfulness. Is that possible? Yes, it is possible to have consistency in our Christian life. And so many people look for consistency, and guess what? We want consistency. We want something that's stable. We want something that is true. We don't like to be unstable. And James chapter 1 says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. We saw in Ephesians chapter 4 that we be no more children. Let's look over there. Ephesians chapter number 4 quickly tonight. And that this is the basis of this whole series. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children. That we no longer be ignorant of what God would have us to do. That we no longer be ignorant of the steps that He wants us to take. That we no longer be ignorant of what faithfulness is. But children that are in the faith or young in the Lord, and they have not made these steps and made these decisions, then what happens? They're tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And if we want consistency, if we want stability, if we want to stand, we need to be faithful and rooted in what God's Word is. And step number one, of course, is knowing the Lord and knowing that you're saved. Step number two is dying to self. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then from there, we take a series of steps of things we must be faithful in. So we must make a decision, though, that we're going to have some consistent steps in our life. Consistent steps going forward, one before the other. Not getting ahead of God, but walking with Him day by day, step by step. Look here in verse number 2 once again. Moreover, it is required. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it is required. Now, some people like to change that to, and I'd like you to underline that in your Bible. If you have a pen or pencil, underline that. Required. Not optional. You know, something that is required, I think all of us would understand that our vehicles require oil in the engine for it to run properly. It won't run very long if you don't have oil in there. You might get out the parking lot, you might even get to the street, but then something's going to happen. Your engine's going to go bang, and then your engine's done. Why? Because it didn't say in there in the owner's manual that oil was optional. It says required. Now, you know that you can put oil in there, but you know you can put the wrong type of oil in your car? Maybe it's, there's different types of oil. Did you know that there's a different type of oil for a diesel engine versus a gasoline engine? If you didn't know that, you feel enriched tonight. If you didn't know that, diesel engines require much heavier oil. The bus requires much thicker oil than our regular cars do. Now, some of you maybe have, 10W30 or 10W20 in your vehicles, but if you put that in my car, my hybrid, you would ruin its engine because it runs on very light oil. So all things are different in that way. And that sometimes in our Christian life, we have our own version of faithfulness, our own version of consistency that is not God's definition. And yes, things might run good for a while, but eventually something's going to go wrong. Just like maybe that engine will run in that oil for a while, but eventually the engine will wear out prematurely, either from too high of an oil pressure, it'll blow seals out, or from a lack of lubrication, it'll wear out prematurely. And guess what? When you go to the Ford dealership or you go to the Chevy dealership, probably you won't get much help with the Chevy dealership. But anyway, you go to the GM or you go to the Ford dealership or you go somewhere, and you, I don't like GM vehicles, if you didn't know. But if you have one, I'll pray for you. But that's personal opinion. Don't get all offended. But I like Hondas and Toyotas. Amen, Brother Hammonds. Amen. We like those vehicles. But so if you went there and you were having problems with your engine and you went to the Ford dealership and said, hey, I'm having this knocking sound on my engine. I went in there. Maybe we should make the example of the Honda or Toyota dealership. I think they do something about it. But you go in there and you say, hey, there's some knocking in my engine. And they begin to look at your engine. Okay, we'll take a look at it. And, it's under warranty. It's under the 100,000-mile warranty. And you go in there. And then you say, hey, they come out to you and say, hey, you know what? There's something wrong with your engine. Did you change the oil? I think so. Yes, I changed the oil. Yes, I did. Well, what kind of oil did you put in it? Well, I put the best kind of oil I knew how. I put in a such and such type of oil. I put in some 15W40. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's a very thick oil. That's like what the bus takes. I said, well, sir, your engine's only supposed to take 5W20, which is very light oil. And all this damage has been done to your vehicle. I'm sorry, you voided your warranty. So we're not going to fix it. So then what are you stuck, right? You have a broken vehicle, no way to fix it. You got a brand new vehicle and it's all to pieces. And in the Christian life, we can maybe make some decisions and say, hey, I know God says this, but I'll modify that a little bit. Hey, and I still run. It works for me. It might work for a while, but eventually something's going to break down. And you're going to be on the side of the road broken down while other people are consistently going forward for God because they're doing what He commands and what He says. So this area of faithfulness is important. That it's not our version of faithfulness, but it's God's definition of faithfulness. God is perfect and God is all wise. Amen. If you go to the workplace, if you worked in a workplace, there are some people that have a different definition of faithfulness than others. Some people, their definition of faithfulness is being work on time every single day. The definition of faithfulness for other people is to show up one day and work out of five that they're scheduled to work. That's their idea of, I'm faithful to my job, you know, and no, they only show up once a week for their job. Even then, they're late and they leave early, right? That's what some people's definition of faithfulness is. Well, we need to look at, have consistent steps. So let's look at what God says. And that brings us to number two, is consistent stewardship. As Christians, we have been entrusted with certain treasures and also entrusted with certain responsibilities. Now look at Matthew 25 and verses 14 and 15. Now this is a parable that Jesus gave to his disciples, and that the disciples were entrusted with the certain truths that Jesus preached to them. Also entrusted with the gospel. And we saw just a little bit earlier in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1 that Paul declared that he had been entrusted with the mysteries of God and the mysteries of the gospel. And we see in Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So he gave, this is the picture of what Jesus was going to do, in that he was going to give responsibilities and give talents to those that he left behind, and he was going to send up into heaven. Now he is still in heaven, but every Christian, he assigns, he gives some talents. Some people have gotten 2. Some people have gotten 5. Some people have gotten 1. I'm not talking about talents as far as gifts that are abilities that we're able to do, but responsibilities, treasures, and all of us have been entrusted with the gospel of Christ. We see that in Matthew 28. Also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20. We know the great commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. We know that we've been entrusted with the gospel. We looked at Sunday school this morning, and that never anywhere in the Bible does it say, and I didn't get to this in my Sunday school lesson, so I'm going to present it now, in that the Bible gives us so many commands about preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, giving a word of witness. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Why are we to go and do this for God? Because we are bought with a price. We have been bought with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been bought with His blood. His shed blood paid for our sin. We are bought. Why wouldn't we want to tell someone else about it? Amen? Why wouldn't we want to tell someone that we've been saved from our sin? But you know why many don't witness? It's because they don't have a consistent Christian walk. And they don't have a consistent, faithful Christian experience. That's why many do not. Because the reality of their salvation is not real to them. It's not real to them. In that they don't have victory every day. They don't have daily joy, daily peace. If you don't have that, then you're not going to be first in line to go witnessing, because there's something, a doubt in your mind of how does this really work? And that you're not, don't have the boldness to go and share it with somebody else. Now, how many verses are in the Bible? And this is part of my Sunday school lesson this morning. I didn't get to it. There was so much in my Sunday school lesson I had to cram in there. But how many verses in the Bible does it say, Or are there any verses in the Bible, or how many, that say that we need to be careful not to turn off people to the gospel when we witness to them? How many verses in the Bible say that? 0. And you know what the biggest fear that we have in witnessing, that we're going to turn someone off to the gospel, that we're afraid that they're going to reject it? You know what? We need to be faithful to give it, and if they reject it, they reject it. But we need to be faithful in giving it. Amen? We need to be faithful in giving it. And that's exactly the fear the devil likes to use. Well, they're just going to reject it, and there's going to be all their fault, all your fault. They're going to die and go to hell, and it's going to be all your fault because you didn't say it right. If they're using the Bible, their blood is on their own head. As the watchman, illustration of the watchman in the Old Testament says, that if the watchman sounds the alarm and sounds the trumpet and the people do not regard it, the blood is on their head. But if he sees the enemy coming, either he's sleeping or he sees them coming and doesn't say anything, then the blood of those people are on the watchman's head. So we need to be faithful in giving out the gospel. And if people accept, they accept. If people reject it, they reject. We need to be faithful and biblical in our witnessing. That is the responsibility. That's the treasure that God has entrusted to us as stewards, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. That is a treasure. I hope you see it as a treasure. It is a treasure and an awesome responsibility that is given to every Christian. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20. Also, he has entrusted us. He uses people to keep his word pure and his doctrines pure. We need to be faithful to the doctrines of Christ. You know, sometimes we focus so much on the gospel, doctrine isn't important. Oh, doctrine's very important. Doctrine is essential. We need to be pure in our doctrine, and God entrusts us with that, that we be have pure, biblically-based doctrine, and that we teach it to other people in the correct way. That we not be, and by the way, if we take God's word, and we take out what we want, don't like, and we put in what we do like, and then we present it that way, do you know what? You'll become a false teacher. Because you have taken away from the gospel of God. We've taken away from God's word. We have taken away from that verse. Every word of God is pure. And instead we say, well, the culture doesn't accept that. And so people that take God's word and they take away from it and they add to it and they make it acceptable for the culture, as we see that in Revelation, we're not to do that, right? And that people that do, and there are pastors sitting in pulpits, even in independent Baptist churches on the left coast and other places like that, and they are false teachers because they take away from the word of God and say, oh, it's not from today. Oh, it's not for this or that. They are false teachers because they have taken away. What did Paul encourage Timothy? And this was also an admonition from the Lord. Verse 20, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So in the parting comments, this is the closing of the letter. He said, Timothy, keep that which has been committed to thy trust. And I say the same to you. Keep that which has been committed to your trust in the truth. Keep it. Keep it. Young people, keep it. Because you're going to have to answer the question one day. You're going to have to give it one day. And also, all of us, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. We will all stand before God for how faithful we were in keeping the gospel and in keeping the word of God pure. And also we see in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we also see the gifts of the Spirit. That God has given us a gift, a spiritual gift. We did this Sunday school series earlier on in the year, in that we are to be faithful to use our spiritual gift and to use it in a way that glorifies God, instead of saying, well, I want to hide my light under a bushel, using what God has given you, that spiritual gift. And we went over those. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards of what? God's grace. We're to be stewards of that. The idea of a steward, I think all of us in here, if we had a lot of money, we would want to give it to an organization or an investment company that was going to take care of our money. And if they advertised, oh yes, people that invest money in our company, they lose 10% annually of the money they put in. Now, how many of you are going to put your money in there? Oh, not one person, right? I think we understand that correctly, that we're going to lose money. We're going to give them money and we're going to lose it. We're not going to grow it. If you give your money to an investment company, what's the object? To have it grow. You know, 1%, 2%, sometimes 3% annually. I mean, and we want to have more. It goes and invests and it returns, and we want to see our money grow in an investment, right? Well, God's not going to invest in a servant and a steward. He's not going to entrust anything to someone who is going to lose instead of gain because of a lack of faithfulness. If we're not faithful, what do we see in the parable? That the one who had the five, and we're going to read it in a minute, the one who had the five increased. He had five more. The one who had two, he got two more. But the one who said, I'm afraid, I don't want to mess this up, he went and hid it, he did not gain. He didn't lose anything either. Well, Pastor, he didn't lose anything, but he didn't gain. He didn't increase. He wasn't faithful like God wanted him to be. You know what the important thing? Well, I didn't lose anything, but he didn't do what his Lord told him to do. That's the important thing. And to be careful that we do what God wants us to do. Now let's look at the responsibilities that God has for us to do. We know Mark 16:15, we're to give the gospel. Another responsibility that we have is to love the Lord. Look at Jude 1, verse 21. Responsibility of every Christian is to love the Lord. To love Him and serve Him. To be faithful in that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're to love God. We're to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. We're to do that. Be faithful in loving God. And when the love of God grows cold in your heart, you're not walking with Him then. The more you walk with Jesus, the more you love Him. Amen. The more that you see Him work in your life, the more you love Him. Amen. At least it should be that way. If it's not that way in your life right now, we need to fix something. Because we grow closer to Him, and we see Him use us, and we see Him work in our life, and we see His wonderful blessings. The Word of God is an open book, and we love God all the more. We need to be faithful in that, in loving Him. But also, there are some other responsibilities that God has for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Responsibilities of a Christian. We're to be faithful in God's house. Be faithful to God's house and attending God's house, but also be faithful inside of God's house. If God wants us to be faithful and wants us to work for Him, then He has a place for us to work. Yes, we work out in the world, in the fields, but we work inside His house. We looked at that this morning, that every Christian is to have a place. Hebrews 10, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. In that, you see a lot of churches today, because Sunday night services aren't well attended, or Wednesday night services aren't well attended, they have church once a week. I was driving by a couple of churches today, I was dropping people off with the church van, I was driving by church after church after church, they said, join us at 10, or join us at 11. No Sunday night service, no Wednesday night service. I don't know about you, but I love being in God's house, and I think we need to be in church more than once a week in order to be faithful. I believe that 100%. The world is wicked, and what does it say at the end of this verse? As we see them, and so much the more. So much the more from the time of Christ, so much the more is right now, as you see the day approaching. What day is that? That's the day of the Lord. The day, the last day, when Jesus is coming back and we see Him coming in the clouds as that day approaches. And what does the Bible also say? That in the day of the Son of Man, when He shall come, it will be as in the days of Noah. And what was the day of Noah? That they thought only evil continually. The world was full of violence. Oh, we see violence everywhere. We see wicked imaginations everywhere. And you know what? We need to be in God's house to combat that. We're so bombarded with it. We're so awash in it. Every time we go out and out of this place or out of our home, it shouldn't be in our home, by the way, but it was so awash with it. So we need to come to God's house to serve and to be clean, and we need to be faithful to it. God's house is the place we ought to be. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. You know, we should never put a limit on how much God wants to teach us. Well, where is Sunday school in the Bible? It's not. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is. But Sunday school isn't. I understand that. But we should, the point is, well, I'm not required to come to that then, since it's not in the Bible. That's the wrong attitude to take. Instead, I have another opportunity to learn about God, and we should take it. Amen. We have another opportunity so that we can be faithful. You know, that coming to church, you come here and you come and you listen to the Word of God. And what does it do? It teaches you to be faithful in different areas of your life. Amen. It teaches you to grow. It teaches you areas. And you know what? There's areas that you never knew that you needed help in until you came. Amen. You never knew. And people say, well, I'm good. You know what you're judging? You're short-circuiting what God wants to do in your life. I'll never forget. This happened almost every year. In that missions conference or revival comes around. I use missions conference as an example here. Need to be at missions conference every night. Amen. I know we all work and I know we do school, but we need to be here. Here's why. That it's happened many times and that someone has texted me or texted my wife and said, hey, you know, I've had a long day. I'm not going to be able to make it for missions conference, or I'm not going to be able to make it for revival meeting and everything. And you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. And then my wife or I make this statement, so you need to come. I know you're tired, but you need to come because the message tonight God has for you. It's God, what God's message is for you. I say, okay, and they come, and they sit down, and they're tired, and then the preacher gets up to preach, or the missionary, or the revivalist comes, and the evangelist speaks, and you know what? They're sitting there, and they are transfixed, and they say, Edwards, you were right. It's like he was speaking to me. Exactly, because it was the devil that told you you didn't need to go. Because the devil knew what the preacher was going to preach on, and the devil knew that's not what you needed. He wanted to keep you under his thumb. And God uses that message and it changes your life because you were faithful. Because you were faithful to his house and faithful to him. Life-changing things happen. We also need to be thankful in our giving. And we looked at this morning, look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We need to be faithful in giving our life every single day. We die daily to self. Not to follow the way that we want or our own thinking or our own desires, but to follow desires of God and to die to self. And you know what? The devil is going to make that very hard certain days. Because someone's dancing on your last nerve. Because something's going on in your life. Because someone's giving you a hard time. Because someone mocks the name of God. And it's going to be a temptation to bring that old man out. Bring him out. But no, Lord, we understand that he takes care of all things. He gives us power to live. He gives us power to walk. He gives us power to take step by step by step every day. And he is the one we're to be looking to. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, daily, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, verse number 2, I want us to think about this for a moment. Why would he say, don't be conformed to this world and be not conformed to this world? You know why? Because the world's going to tell you, you don't need to sacrifice anything for God. The world's going to say, you don't need to give anything. You don't need to give your life. Ah, what kind of church do you go to that teaches that? Well, that's the Bible, not the church. Amen. And that God wants us to do that and commands us to do that, to keep under our body, as Paul said, to keep it in subjection, as Paul said. But the world says, oh, you don't need to sacrifice anything for God. You can do what you want and you can love God too. That's what the world says. That's what the devil says. But that's the being conformed to the world. And God says, no, that is not what you're to do. Don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our thought processes are different. Our desires are different. All has become new because we have died to self. And when we get up in the morning and we think the thoughts of our own on our own and think our own way and think our own, make our own decisions, that's when we're in line. We're not being a living sacrifice to God. We're living life our way. But then also, not only that, faithful in giving of our life, but also in tithes and offerings. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:2. We're to be faithful as Christians in giving our tithe to the Lord and giving of our finances to him. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So right here, a very important verse, that the first day of the week, we're to bring what? Let every one of you lay by him in store as God prospered him, to give of our tithe to the Lord. And there's so much teaching. I could preach a whole couple sermons on this. But that we need to be faithful in our giving. And the devil tempts us, well, you don't need to give. You don't have the money this month to tithe. By the way, tithe comes out first. Then your bills. Amen? Tithe comes out first, then your bills. Then your food money, and then everything else. But, Pastor, I'm going to starve. No, you won't.
God will take care of you. Remember, we need to be wise stewards as well. But we're to give to the Lord first. That's why I said the first day of the week. Go to Him first. Well, I'll give it back to Him later. Look at Malachi chapter 3. And Israel had made some decisions to do this. That they decided, well, giving to God wasn't all that it was all cracked up to be. You know, it's not really needed. And you know, there's a couple things that go down in someone's life when they have struggling with faithfulness or they're struggling with their spiritual walk with God. There's a couple things that happen. One of them is that their devotion to God goes out the window. That they begin to have a lack of faithfulness in their Bible reading and in their prayer life. Then, shortly after that, the tithing goes. The giving to missions goes. Then after that, faithful church attendance starts to go. In that they only come, as they were coming four times a week, they come three. And then they started coming two. And then they start coming one. And they start coming every once in a while. Then before long, they stop coming at all. Because they have made a decision that they were not going to die to self, but that they were going to do their own way. That they were going to walk and not be faithful. But it's required to be faithful. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And the nation of Israel, they had robbed from God, they had taken and were not giving what was required of them. Remember, all things belong unto God. Amen. Everything that's in your wallet belongs to God. Even if it's plastic. All right. If it's plastic, it ought not be there. But right here is I have a $1 bill. This is not my $1 bill. Yes, that's all I have in my wallet right now. Pastor's poor. But no. So yes, alms for the poor. No. But I have $1 here. You know how we look at it is when we have the $1? Well, 10% of it is God's. So this part of it right here is God's. That's our 10 cents worth. I don't know how much of a dollar is 10 cents, but that's how much, that's our tithe. That's how much belongs to God. Wrong, all that belongs to God. He just makes you give back that 10% part. All of it's His. Amen. Everything is His. In that, we have to understand. And when God lays upon our heart to give 30, 40, maybe the entire dollar, we're like, whoa! Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Lord. I thought, remember, only that 10%'s yours. The rest of it's mine. Incorrect. All of it's His. And God sometimes asks us to give it all. Amen. So we shouldn't be saying, well, God, well, if it's outside of my 10%, sorry, you can't do that. That's why it says tithes and offerings. Not just offerings. There are some people that teach, well, tithing is not for today. We're to give only offerings. Where in the Bible do you see that? Never in the New Testament does it take away and say you don't need to tithe anymore. It doesn't say that. Because remember something, things that are passed away in the law of the Old Testament are said to be passed away in the New. Like the ceremonial law has been passed away. But also at the same time, tithing was before the law. Say it with Abraham. It was before the law. It has always been. The giving of offerings to God goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Giving to Him a portion of our increase. Sacrifices to God. All of that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. It's not something new that the church invented to get your money. As something that God commanded. And if we're faithful, we'll do that. Be a faithful Christian. The Christian life is all about God-enabled consistency. God-enabled consistency. Faithfulness to grow in your relationship with God. We talked about earlier, faithful to study the Bible. Not just read it. You know, we can read it without understanding. We can read our Bible and we can not get much out of it, but to study the Bible, Joshua 1:8, let's look over there. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, a verse we know very well.
Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
We're consistently in the Word of God, consistently studying it. It will enable us to be faithful.
If you want to be faithful, you need to be faithful to your Bible first, and faithful to dying to self, and faithful in your relationship to God, and the rest of your life will fall in line. You know what we try and do? We try and fix our life, then go to God and be faithful.
No, we're faithful in our relationship to Him, faithful to His Word, faithful in dying to self, faithful in submitting ourselves to Him, and He will make us faithful. Amen. God enabled consistency. You can be faithful on your own but there will come a breaking point in your life. There will come a place where you can't do it anymore. There'll come a place where you can't go on anymore. And then you quit because it's not God enabled. God enabled consistency and faithfulness. You look at the martyrs who gave their life for Christ. Like, how did they do that? I mean, we can fall to pieces when there's just a new bill that we have to pay. Amen. You know, we fall to pieces when our car breaks down. We fall to pieces when someone slams the door in our face sometimes. How do these people face death for Christ? How are they faithful to the end?
Because they were walking with God. And there were those that were not walking with God and they weren't faithful to the end.
The Romans, they would give them a choice to either recant their belief in Christ and pledge their allegiance to Caesar, or go to the wild beasts and to the gladiators in the Colosseums. And some were frightened and they would recant. And they would just, oh, it's just a superficial thing. I don't really mean it, but they weren't faithful. But those that thought so much of their walk with God and of their relationship with God, of what Christ had done for them, they would not spit in their Savior's face, and they were faithful to death. That's the type of faithfulness we ought to have every day. Every Christian ought to have that. Well, they were special. No, every Christian ought to have that. They were just Christians like you and me. They were just people like you and me. Nothing special about them, but they believed so much in their relationship with God, and they were faithful to the end because God did that for them. They submit. Were they afraid? Yes. But they knew God would be faithful to them. God is faithful to us. We need to be faithful to Him. Amen. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We need to be faithful to Him. But also faithfulness in prayer. Luke 18:2. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray. That we should pray without ceasing. That we should never say, well, I don't need to pray. I don't need to communicate with my Savior or with my God. We should always have the attitude of prayer. Here's the conclusion. This is the conclusion of the whole matter as we close this short series. There is no way you can do it alone, as we looked at this morning. We can try to be faithful ourselves, but it will not last. And maybe we can go on for years, decades. But there will come a place where it will eventually fall apart. Just like you may be putting oil in your car, but it's the wrong type, or maybe you're not changing it often enough, and eventually it may run for right now, but eventually that will fail. Do we have the right starting point? A daily death to self is required. A daily dependence on Christ to keep you faithful is required. Let Christ accomplish His work in you. Looking back at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, briefly, verse number 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Remember, we aren't faithful for the applause of men. That's what Paul said in verse number 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. We don't do it for man's applause, or should we stop because of man's criticism? Paul was faithful. There was a lot of people who liked him, but more people hated him. Because of the truth that he brought, he challenged the religious system of the Jews. He challenged the religious systems of the Gentiles, and it wasn't him. It was the truth of the gospel. And there was a lot of people that would love to see Paul dead. And a lot of people tried, but not until God's time for him came. But he was faithful. And he didn't care what those men said. He didn't care what Caesar thought. He didn't care what those other people who had turned away from the gospel thought. He didn't think of his old Jewish counterparts, what they thought. He only cared about what Jesus thought of him. And that's what's going to keep you faithful, that we're walking before God. If we do it to walk before people, you can be faithful here in front of everyone at church. You can be faithful in front of your people at work. And you can be faithful in front of your family at home. But then you can go and be unfaithful in secret. And no one knows. Because you're only doing it for the appearance and for the applause and the praise of men. Paul said, I don't even want to judge myself. Oh, we should never get to the place, well, I've done a pretty good job. That's right. Mr. Faithful right here. Haven't missed a service in 30 years. Haven't missed a tithe check in 40 years. I'm Mr. Faithful. It's great that we're faithful, but we shouldn't judge ourselves. This is an interesting verse. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time. When's the time? When we all stand before God. Before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And you know, this is a very interesting verse. You know why? Is that don't judge before the time. In that, we see a lot of things that a lot of preachers today have the applause of men. They have big churches. They have souls being saved. And you know, God very well might be in it. But be careful. Just because they have a big church doesn't mean God's in it. Just because they have a big ministry doesn't mean God's in it. Man can build all kinds of things. As, oh, look at them. But, oh, wait, there will be some who will stand before God. And there's going to be some things that are going to come out of the darkness that God knew, no one else did. And they will not have the praise of their heavenly Father. And they'll not have the praise of their Savior because they did it for me. I'm not saying everyone's like that, but you need to be careful. Don't judge things before the time. Oh, that'll never work out. Oh, let God be the judge. Amen? Let God be the judge. Be careful. So tonight, are we going to be faithful? So I want to be faithful. Let God make you faithful. Submit yourself to Him and you will be faithful to Him. Consistently walking. Consistently being a good steward of what God has given to you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that we would be faithful, Lord. Perhaps we've been unfaithful in an area of our life. Lord, only you know hearts and the lives represented here tonight, representative of the lives listening to the stream tonight. I pray that if we've been unfaithful, dear Lord, that we would be turned and we would submit ourselves to you and make a commitment to be faithful, to walk with you day by day, moment by moment, dying to self, submitting ourselves to you. Oh, Lord, you will make us faithful. You will do the work in us and you will do your will through us. I thank you, Lord, for that. That we be sensitive to you and what you have in store for us. Pray that you will bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.